5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show. We are powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. I'm Brady Hull. We got Angel on the other side of the bulletproof glass. Angel, what do you think of me trying to bring you in on some Twitter drama last night? You okay with that? I tagged you.
Yeah.
Wanted to get you in the mix. It wasn't hateful like it was Saturday, but, you know, it was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool.
You good with that?
Yeah.
Well, you got me thinking, and this is what I love about Angel. He gets me thinking all the time. I'm looking up at the screen. We got the four-letter network up, and you got Nick Saban talking right now, so it made me think of it. Your take on Nick Saban yesterday was so spot on. Because everyone was making a big deal about, well, Nick Saban's commenting, Dion talking about how good he is and the program that he's running and stuff. But you kind of made it, you know, you more or less said, hey, he's just saying what a coach does. Like, he has them ready to play. He has promoted their program. He is getting good recruits and good transfer guys in. I thought that was a very enlightening take by you.
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to Nick Saban talk for a long time, and you kind of just pick up on his delivery in certain things, and you can tell when he's trying to send a message or if he's trying to just go on a rant or whatever. You can kind of pick it out. And not to discredit that comment about Deion Sanders, I think it is still a compliment, but considering where it comes from, the greatest college football coach, it's, yeah, you should be doing those things. That's the bare minimum.
Yeah, that's what you should
do. The greatest
be doing.
Guy to do it is telling you the bare minimum of what you should do.
Yeah. So I tweeted this out. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, and this guy, his Twitter name is Go Cry About It with a bison next to it. So, okay. He says, yeah, I tweeted this. I said, Nick Saban complimented Coach Prime, but was it really a compliment? He basically said he was doing the things a coach should do. Credit to my boy, Angel Padilla, for opening that up. The guy says, yeah, a coach that's never coached Power 5 before, kicked everyone off the team, brought in a whole new team, went from 1-11 to start to 3-0, and ranked, yeah, that's what he's supposed to do. Just like you guys were saying all summer what he'd do, right?
That's not what Saban was saying.
He's basically saying, well, yeah, that's not what he was supposed to do, is be 3-0. You're 3-0 against three teams that are probably not going to be that good. Sorry, but that's the truth, and I believe in the hype. I do. I believe that primetime is going to do some really great things here, but the bottom line is some of you guys are acting like they just beat Alabama, Texas, and Oregon already, 3-0.
I think I'm trying to just understand this tweet. Yeah, that's what he's supposed to do.
He's saying that... What we're basically saying is that Nick Saban's basically just saying you're doing what you're supposed to. No, what you're supposed to do is be a coach and learn and stuff. You're not supposed to be 3-0 to start the season.
Okay, yeah. So there's the external there's the expectations of what Deion Sanders could do at CU. There is also the bare minimum expectations as a college football head coach that you have to do in order to have anything of success. The reason they are 3-0 is because Deion Sanders does a good job of coaching his players, promoting his program, and developing young men.
Yeah.
Those are the three things that Saban said he does a good job of. Good. That's it.
But that if you weren't doing those things, you'd be a terrible coach and you'd be fired.
Yes.
So that's where I get what you're saying on this. Like, I know it's not the biggest argument.
Yeah, it's great that you went 3-0 and you're defying the odds. That's great. But you're doing that because of the foundation you've set as a coach, and you're doing a good job of that.
Yeah. He's doing, you're recruiting guys. You're promoting your program. You're having them ready to play on Saturday. Yeah. If all those three things were the opposite, you wouldn't be a head coach.
When you do all those things right, yes, you are going to be 3-0 because you've done all the things the right way.
Yeah. For example, Ed McCaffrey. You're not really there that much. The guys don't seem that ready to play. You're not really visiting teams and talking to Colorado high school coaches. Then you ultimately move on. They move on from you.
Mm-hmm.
That's so... I like the comment.
I think it means a lot for Saban to say that.
I don't know that it's a compliment, though.
But it's a very...
Yeah.
If you read into it, it's a very... Yeah, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Good job. You don't get a cookie for doing what you're supposed to do.
What was it in The Office when Ryan hated Jim, you know, and Ryan was the
temp or,
you know, when he was upper that fourth year where he made it up and he took Jan's job, you know, and Jim called him and he's like, dude, I just got a big sale. Good job. Congratulations. Let me finish. Congratulations for doing your job. Now, I know that's not like a great message to your staff if they're doing a good job and you just say, yeah, you've done the job that you're supposed to do.
You know, I mean, and Saban's not paying attention to CU. He's not watching their games, but he knows about college football. He's aware of it. So if you ask him, hey, what do you think about Dion? Well, he's doing a good job as a coach. All right.
It's both
a compliment and not a compliment at the same time.
Yeah, it was a nice thing to be said, but is it like this, whoa. A compliment to primetime from Saban would sound like what he's doing is something I've never seen in college football. And it's historic, and he's going to win a lot of championships, or he's going to win a lot of games like that.
He would say that. He would say it at some point. But yeah. Right now, you're a good coach.
Have you been? Side note here, Angel. Just a potpourri this morning. Have you been paying attention to this Bears story, Chicago Bears?
There's a lot of stuff going on.
So their defensive coordinator, Alan Williams, resigned, but there's a rumor that he was being investigated. What was he being investigated for? Do we know? It's a rumor right now, and there's a lot of rumors surrounding this deal, that the FBI searched, is it Hallis Hall? Is that what, that's the Bears training facility?
Mm-hmm.
They searched there. They searched this guy's home. The rumors of an FBI raid started with a tweet from a football aggregation account, which has nearly 100,000 followers. Williams stepped away from the team, citing personal issues. We know that. Matt Eberflus has talked about the mental side of it for him. And now he's going to call defensive plays in week 3. Here's the other kicker to that. Do you remember the name Charles Tillman? Charles Tillman was arguably one of the better cornerbacks the Bears have ever had in their history. Well, when he retired, the dude just went out and got a degree in, or not a degree, he graduated and became an FBI agent. He's an FBI agent. And he's kind of a part of this investigation on his side. Not like he's being investigated, but he's like in it. So what is actually being investigated right now? This is the most weird, strange story ever because we don't really know. Usually when we find out someone's being investigated, we don't really know what it's for, but there's speculation going crazy as to why Alan Williams resigned and basically him just saying he's stepping back to take care of my health and family, but it's week 2 and he's calling it quits. There's the fact that the rumor mill basically saying the FBI raided his home and Hallis Hall. That is the Bears practice facility. However, they're saying, no, that's not true. He resigned because of personal health challenges and personal family issues. There was no raid on Hallis Hall and no raid on his home. So where did that come from?
Well, I'm just seeing, according to the Pat McAfee show, which is on right now, there was indeed an FBI raid on his house. So whether or not there was a raid at the facility,
we don't know,
but he could have been, his house could have been raided.
Yeah, that's all they said no to. There was no raid. Oh, no, they did say no in this article from the Post, New York Post, that Coach Williams resigned Wednesday because of personal health challenges. There was no raid on Hallis Hall and no raid on his home. But everybody else is saying that there was, and we don't know what for. So, yikes.
Well, then he resigned, and then they said he didn't resign.
And then he resigned again, right?
Yes.
And all this stuff was bad. Like, yesterday, it was Justin Fields saying, it's all about coaching. That's why I'm struggling.
Well, you got this going on. You got one of their offensive linemen has a neck injury.
And
one of their receivers is hurt.
Yeah.
And Justin Fields is calling out the coaches.
That is a train wreck. Denver Broncos, if you do not beat the Chicago Bears next week, then don't even bother showing up for practice the week after, because it's over. Chicago, dude. They are a train wreck right now.
It's like we know it's going to be a train wreck. We just like we're waiting for the train to wreck.
Well, yeah. What is
he? We're all just standing by the tracks, just waiting for it.
What is this defensive coordinator being investigated for? Or what are they searching his home for? We don't really know. And why? And how is Charles Tillman involved? You guys remember Peanut, Charles Tillman, like stud corner. Wouldn't that be amazing? You have a career in the NFL, like a really good career, and then you're just so ambitious that you want to go fulfill another dream you had to be an FBI agent. So now he's an FBI agent? That's so cool. And now he's tipping people off, maybe? I don't know. Usually when we have stories like this, we get some kind of idea, like what's going on. But it's just a wacky story, dude. It's absolutely nuts. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. All right, Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com. The good for me is, and this is good for Shador. Angel, I read a story this morning. Shador Sanders has close to now $5 million in NIL money. $5 million. At the beginning of August, it was reported that he was around $1.3 million. So you mean to tell me $4 million came in after his first three games? I guess that's how it works. So some of the people he's working with, actually, they don't really list it. Travis Hunter's are listed, but not Shador's. Why wouldn't you stay in college? If you're a top 10 NIL guy making millions, you're not paying rent. You got your scholarship, full ride. Collect that money. Save it. My goodness, there's a lot of cash flowing around. Bad for me, Rockies lost. Yeah, did you watch? Did you watch, Angel? You didn't watch? No, they lost. No, it's over. Done. I'm going to say the ugly is I feel bad for the AT&T Sportsnet crew. I saw Spielberg. Steven Spielberg and Spielborg, right?
Sporg.
Sporg. But the guy that did the movies is Berg. Mm-hmm. You can see why that's confusing.
Spilly.
He tweeted out it was his last TV night with the Rockies, at least for the foreseeable future. Is Altitude going to pick this up, you think? Or do we don't really know? Does it make sense?
I have no idea.
Do they get back on TV? Like, what if the Rockies are off TV? Does that kill them, or?
Well, I mean, you got Jerry as a voice, so it's got him there, but
you got the radio side. Radio's a lot easier to produce than TV. Altitude's your only shot, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you get on a local network, but they're all kind of corporate ran and stuff, so I don't know that it would make sense, because you're not going to punt nightly news for Rockies games.
No.
So it's not going to go to any of the local news television stations. Altitude is like your only option. So, and we know how good at dealing with people Altitude's been when it comes to
we won't be able to watch the Rockies
on
anyway.
TV. Yeah, I mean,
three of our four sports. Can we just get the Broncos on Altitude next? Like,
get them all.
Put them all there.
Yes. I'm going to need your ESPN Plus account, by the way.
Ew.
Or whatever it is you, whatever you're away.
I use ESPN Plus.
Okay, I didn't know.
For when I need to.
Because you do things mm-hmm. that are not exactly street legal.
Yeah.
Yes and no.
Digital streets, yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
The high seas.
Oh, man.
Don't do it. Just don't do it.
It's going to be a wild Thursday today, isn't it? I just feel it. You got Brian. You got Brian mispronouncing the CSU quarterback's name. You got the CSU quarterback saying they're going to go play in the Mountain West title game this year. They're going to go to a bowl game. You got primetime saying, no, Shador's not going to the NFL next year, which is fine. He's dad. Tanner said he had a problem with that. Do you have a problem with that? He's the dad.
It's not really a problem. Not a problem, but it's not my place to say how a parent should parent their child. But I have a hard time separating Shador from his father. And I think other coaches have a hard time with that. I think GMs have a hard time with that. We talked about it yesterday. If you anything related to Sanders, you get the fanboys with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to see Shador be his own person.
But he still is a college student.
Yeah.
So he's still under, I don't even know, does he live in the dorms, you think? Or does he live with dad?
Probably not. He probably has his own place.
You think he does?
I'm sure.
I know Travis Hunter does.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked if they're roommates or something. But
you think he, like, rents an apartment?
Their apartment, or he's got, you know, him and his team, there's like 10 teammates in a house together, maybe. I don't know.
Well, he might as well buy a house.
He's king of the campus, so he can probably live anywhere.
He might as well buy a house in Denver because he's going to be the Broncos quarterback next year. It's going to happen, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Denver's going to be in the top, in the bottom five, and which also means top five. I'm kind of there, man.
Really?
Yeah, I'm kind of there. This is my first year being there. I'm worn out. Normally, I can try to find, okay, they'll get it right. They were 2-1 last year at this point. So you're like, all right, they'll figure it out. I have become numb. It's a song, by the way, to this Broncos team. Every year, the fact that Sean Payton is doing the same things that Nathaniel Hackett was doing last year. Sean Payton is he going to look terrible in this whole thing, at least this year? I mean, we're talking about wristbands in week two. He can't get the play in. Whose fault is that? You're the head coach. Figure it out. They're running 12 times. They ran the ball 12 times against Washington with Javonte Williams. Now, six runs they had were quarterback scrambles. And then Samaje Perine had two or three carries and I think another one. You're doing all the things that Hackett did last year, and you're coming out saying last year was the worst coaching job ever. Now, Angel, you brought up the point yesterday. You're not seeing the really bad stuff that Hackett was doing. You know, 46 left hash and just some of the decisions there.
With stuff that veteran head coach Sean Payton shouldn't be struggling with.
Especially if you're going to talk such a big game about how bad Nathaniel Hackett was. Because for as bad as Nathaniel Hackett was last year, they were 1-1 going into week three and became 2-1. They are a Miami Dolphins game away from being 0-3 to start the season. And we all know the stats for 0-3 teams. Like, it's not good, the chances of them going to the playoffs. And again, the hard part of their schedule, they begin it this weekend. Like, it's not going to get any easier for this team. You're at a point now where you can't just go on and show progress. You got to pull off upsets against teams you weren't supposed to beat. Now, you do have the Bears and the Jets coming up. Those games you have to find a way to win. 24 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, we'll take a quick break here. We'll have Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and join us. I think we're moving on from the Rocky Mountain Showdown drama officially, so we'll get to that with Kevin as they get set for the middle of Tennessee coming up this weekend. Braden Fowler Nicolosi, or whatever it was Brian called him this morning, Tom Capali or something?
Tony Cannoli.
Oh, I love that man. I love that man, Brian Gary. 24 minutes after 11 o'clock, it's the whole show, powered by Chevron, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
No more gimmicks, no more jokes, just the games. Broncos games are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, welcome into the whole show. Did you guys know that Steamway Floor to Ceiling they serve all of Northern Colorado. I mean, they're in Greeley, but they take care of it all. Windsor, Loveland, Fort Collins, Severance, Eaton, Kersey, Platteville, Johnstown, Milliken. They're everywhere. They are a Northern Colorado Steamway floor to ceiling store for everybody. They got a 4,000 square foot showroom with tile, luxury vinyl, hardwood, carpet, granite, and more. Check them out online at steamwayfloortoceiling.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, just to get you guys cooking on this. Do you think the Colorado Buffs will cover, what is it, 23? Is it 23 right now, at least according to, 21, it's 21. Will Colorado cover the 21-point spread against Oregon this week? Go vote at theholeshow.com. 68% of the Hooligans are saying no.
You lose by 20, you still cover.
Yeah, and it's hard to beat teams by 20. But it's hard to beat another ranked team by 20. But it can happen. It's three touchdowns. It could be a 28-14 game. And then suddenly Oregon goes, bam, gets it. That's a tough one. That'll be on picks tomorrow. We got the picks coming up. Angel, I made a little progress. I'm one game under 500, so we got to get over that. I'm still in the red. Got to get in the green. Got to get in the green. Was really counting on the Broncos to help me out. I got the Wyoming thing right. I got UNC right. I got Air Force right. So I went, where did I go, 3-2? Missed the Broncos, and I missed the Rams. I'm happy to say I missed the Rams. I thought they wouldn't cover. But the Rams are better than I thought, or maybe the Buffs aren't as good as I thought. I don't know. We'll start to get more answers this weekend. What are you sitting at now? You got to be looking pretty good, huh?
11-4.
You're 11-4?
At a perfect weekend.
You went perfect?
Yeah.
What did you pick? Did you pick spreads and wins? What did you?
TSU cover.
Yeah.
Wyoming cover.
Yeah.
Air Force cover. Washington State to win, and Washington to cover.
Washington State to win and who to cover?
Washington.
Who was Washington?
Commanders.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Look at you go. Man, that was good.
I was surprised.
That's amazing. Well, I'm gonna go. We got six this weekend.
We're down by about three games.
That'll be fine.
Three and a half.
We're fine, Angel. This weekend's going to be huge. It starts tomorrow, though, I think, because Air Force plays tomorrow night again.
Mm-hmm.
San Jose State. 33 minutes after the hour, let's talk to Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. He is our Rams insider. And what does he think of Tony Cannoli, a.k.a. Braden Fowler Nicolosi? That is now his nickname, thanks to KFKA's own Brian Gary. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Mm-hmm. 37 minutes after 11 o'clock, Kevin Lytle joining us now from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, I know we're moving on to Middle Tennessee, but I just have one quick question on Henry. Have you had a chance to talk to Henry Blackburn or hear how he's doing? I'm just curious. I wanted to check with you.
Yeah, no, CSU has declined interview requests for him this week. Not surprisingly,
sure.
So obviously. He shouldn't really have to speak on what's like getting death threats. So I'm guessing he probably will at some point, but it hasn't happened yet. I mean, he's been at practice. You know, I've sort of, you know, tangentially heard that, you know, he's doing as best as, you know, someone in that situation probably could be. But yeah, he hasn't spoken publicly yet.
Well, I'm glad he's practicing and everything. Sometimes you wonder if guys just take maybe a mental break and all that, but you know, he's a competitor, and I know this Rams team is ready to get back out and try to get a dub here. 0-2 to start the season and against two tough teams, obviously, going up against Middle Tennessee. But, Kevin, I just think there's a lot of pressure on this game because, you didn't beat CU on Saturday, but I think you took advantage of the stage. I really do. We're talking about the Rams, maybe not the most positive light depending on who you talk to. Now you got to follow that up with a win.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, there were so many eyeballs on that game. And CSU obviously surprised a lot of people because the narrative, certainly nationally going in, was, you know, oh my gosh, Colorado can name their score. They can hang 80 if they want. And so CSU certainly grabbed, you know, those eyeballs. There's a reason those ratings, you know, at 2 a.m. Eastern were so high. And it's because Colorado State was playing well and, you know, making a great game. So you're going to have people that are kind of keeping an eye out of, like, hmm, you know, maybe there's something going on with that, you know, Jay Norvell and Colorado State football team. But, yeah, I mean, certainly national narrative-wise, if you go lay an egg in Middle Tennessee, it'll be like, oh, never mind. We're not interested. So yeah, it's an important game. And for the scope of the season, I think these next 3 weeks are huge for CSU if they want to be a bowl team. I think 2-1 is a minimum needed in these next 3 weeks. And, you know, these solid group of five games are the type of games CSU needs to start winning.
No question. There's no excuses right now. You got to find a way to do it. And this offense came to life for the first time, Kevin, and how many years maybe? I don't know. It felt like it's been a while since we've seen anything like this with Colorado State's offense, thanks in large part to Braden Fowler-Nicolosi. I mean, this guy has, it seems like he kind of has an it factor going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think a large part of why he, you know, got the job, so to speak, last week was, you know, not really skills necessarily. Like, certainly he has a skill set, but I think Clay Millen has a good skill set too. It's some of the intangible, you know, aggression, moxie, that type of stuff. And, you know, a little side story that I think shows that, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean anything, but I think it's important to note. When CSU came out for warm-ups, Braden Fowler-Nicolosi came, you know, kind of running to the corner of the end zone where they start the warm-up, and he kind of just stalked up and down the sideline a bit, you know, almost like a caged tiger type thing. And he was basically like glaring into the crowd. It kind of gave a vibe of like, yeah, say something to me, like, let's go. I say, you know, what does that mean? It's hard to say for sure, but I think just that mentality is some of what CSU wanted of a guy, you know, that the team will rally around and has that sort of, you know, aggressive mindset. And they showed it on the field. I mean, he made some tough, tough throws. Obviously, he made a couple big mistakes as well, which, you know, is going to happen with a young guy. But, man, he did a lot of great things.
Well, he's a young guy, too, Kevin. If this guy, if he works out, then you're going to have him for a couple of years down the road here. And I think that's what really excites Rams fans.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the nature of sports, isn't it? You're always thinking about your team now, but you're also always thinking in the future. So, yeah, I no doubt if he can take this and run with it, that would be great, especially for an air raid offense. You got to find your quarterback. So is he that? You know, it's you know, way too soon to say that, but he sure started well and showed great growth from a year ago. You know, looked kind of like you would hope a guy after a redshirt year looked, you know, much different than he did as a true freshman.
Yeah, no question about it. There's just something there. And I'll be upfront. I'll be honest. You know, I wasn't crazy about the move. I wasn't crazy about how it was handled. You know, with the offense that we saw against Washington State. But you know what? I'm happy to say I was wrong. Apparently, Jay Norvell knows more than I do about his team. Kevin, is that a shocker to you?
Well, I mean, let's let play out. I mean, golly.
I could still be right, you're saying, huh?
I totally get where you're coming from, though. It was one of those, like, I could see arguments on both sides. And, you know, it's kind of one of those, well, this is why you pay a coach a lot of money, to make, you know, really tough decisions like that. And at least for game one, it, you know, I think it's hard. You know, there's no way you can say it was the wrong choice, honestly. So, again, we'll see how it plays out. But it was a big call, and in that game, in that environment, it paid off.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And, Kevin, one of the things, I respect your ability, your writing ability so much, but I never think of you as a guy that's fueling the fire just for the sake of fueling the fire. Will you put together reports that maybe, you know, just get the truth out, whatever, it's not furthering your narrative. I got to ask you some questions, and I'm not asking you to throw anybody under the bus, but what I've seen in Denver the last couple of days on the media side, the Channel 7 guy, a couple of guys from some of the radio stations down there, I'm really disappointed with how the Rams have been highlighted or lowlighted throughout the course of this week. And I think a lot of reporters were doing the whole this is what I'm going to post, this is what I'm going to tweet to further my narrative. I was upset by some of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's tough. Every, you know, person outlet has a different, I guess, goal, if you, we can say that. And yeah, I don't want to single people out, but yeah, I've been frustrated with, you know, some of the quote unquote media as well. Just how things are covered, how their, you know, words matter, phrasing matters, all that type of stuff. And yeah, I've been fairly disappointed. I'm not saying I always get it right, that's for sure, but I sure try and, you know, do the even keel, you know, kind of straight up and say, you know, what I saw and what I think it means without, you know, being inflammatory about it. And I just felt like there was, a pretty good segment that didn't do that. And, you know, not that anyone was intending anything, you know, any of the horrible online social media stuff, but I think it certainly inflamed some of that in cases. And yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that was one of the wildest atmospheres and everything I've ever seen. It's easy to get caught up, but yeah, I agree with you. I mean, there was certainly some stuff that's been out there that, let's just say, it's not how I would have done it or how I think it should have been handled. So it's tough. I mean, especially in the current day and age of how people view quote-unquote media, you get a lot of things lumped together that can kind of paint a group in a bad light when really, it's, you know, maybe just one or two people.
When you've been around Jay Norvell a lot, Kevin, you've covered this guy closely. You knew him pretty well when he was in Nevada because he's a Mountain West guy. Was there any time where you thought Jay Norvell might be kind of a dirty coach, that he is promoting his players to, you know, hurt people, get penalties, things like that?
No, I mean, it's funny, again, not to highlight individuals, but using penalty yards as proof of dirtiness is kind of silly.
Oh my gosh.
A team could have 30 false starts and rack up a ton of yards. False start's not the dirtiest play I've ever seen in the world. So, you know, obviously Henry Blackburn hit took a lot of attention. No one argues that was, you know, a good clean hit, but it's one hit in a football, you know, is a late hit that, you know, unfortunately it happens in football. But the rest of the penalties, even the personal fouls, were just blocking penalties, and, you know, some of them were quite questionable calls, we'll call it. It's not like CSU was, you know, doing all this dirty stuff, trying to take out knees or whatever. It's, like I say, you can't use penalty yards to equate dirtiness. Now, can you say discipline, things like that? Sure. But lack of discipline is way different than dirty and malicious. So, yeah, I mean, I've never heard anyone say that before, you know, around football. You know, football people, forget internet people. And I don't feel that happened that game either. So, you know, yeah, did CSU lose its head on a couple and have a couple, you know, emotional penalties? Yeah, but so it's CU. I mean, it's a rivalry game.
Yeah, and that's what you're going to expect. Kevin, before we let you go, we got to put you through rapid fire. Are you good with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Haven't done rapid fire in a while. Kevin's going to go through it. Kevin Lyon.
Rapid fire.
Of the stud players that we've seen with CSU so far, Dallin Holker, Torrey Horton, Jack Howell, Mo Kamara, who's going to be picked highest between those guys when it comes to the NFL, their career?
Torrey Horton.
Oh, that was an easy one, maybe. Maybe that was too easy. Braden Fowler, Nicolosi. Will the follow-up game be better than what we saw against the Buffs?
Oof. Golly, that's a good one. No, but not horribly so.
How many passes will Torrey Horton have thrown by the end of the season?
Two. I think they'll pull it out once more.
Yours truly tweeted last night that the Rams will win the next three games. It's happening. Agree or disagree?
Golly, that's a hot seat right there. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say 2-1.
Killing me, Kevin. You're killing me, man. Will we see Clay Millen at all as a quarterback for the Rams? At this point this season, at some point.
Another good one. I'm going to say yes.
Okay, I'll follow up with that. Is Clay Millen a member of the Colorado State Rams next season?
I'm going to say no.
There it is. Kevin Lytle, you survived, my friend. I hate that you disagreed with me.
Those were some good ones. I mean, that was hot. I'm feeling it.
It was like, off the cuff, too.
I might need the ice bath.
I didn't even write anything down, Kevin. I told Jack Howell this. I'm in mid-season form. You guys need a couple of weeks, but I'm in mid-season form. I'm ready to go.
Oh, yeah. You don't need preseason games. Nah.
I have some stuff I got to get going to this afternoon. Kevin, are you going to be okay with Tanner Schwint on Rams Weekly tonight?
I mean, all I'm going to say, people better tune in because me and Tanner in an hour-long show, I mean, that could, who knows where this thing might go.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy, and I feel bad for you. But also, I'm excited because Tanner, you know what? We give him a lot of crap, but he brings the heat, man. He does.
Oh, if he does a hot seat on that show, I mean,
he's going to be
we might be predicting the 2047 football schedule.
Kevin, who's going to win? Braden Fowler-Nicolosi's future son, will he be the starting quarterback for CSU someday? I mean, that's going to be the kind of questions. I hope you're ready for that.
Yeah, Tanner hot seat. I mean, holy. No, like I say, tune in. Get your popcorn ready, folks.
I love doing that show with you. It's one of my favorite parts of the week, but I love that we have it here on KFK. Kevin Lytle, appreciate you, my man.
Thanks, Brady. Great talking.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And yeah, Tanner is going to be hosting the show, Rams Weekly, this afternoon, 5 o'clock, with Kevin Lytle. Do you think he will ask Kevin to predict the future winner of the Rocky Mountain Showdown in 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'll ask that. Who's winning that game? That'll be good. 11:50, the time. He disagrees with my three in a row, Angel. How do you feel about that? Come on. You know you want to.
I'm leaning more 2-1.
It's going to happen.
I don't know who they'll lose to, but.
Utah Tech's the one I keep hearing people go, you got to watch out for them. I'm not scared. 11:50. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I'd like to invite the following people to join me for...
All right, I was going to just go with it, Angel. I was just going to go with it. Did you think it was noon 05? Did you go there?
Yeah.
Well, there's a 5 in it.
We can have lunch at 5 minutes
early.
Yeah,
we can do the lunch rush. We've done the lunch rush at 12:35, but I was going to just go with it. I was like, let's just do it. I'll pull out some stories here. We got some interesting things, but
you never know. It was a weird Thursday. So it is.
Ryan Fitzpatrick was on with...
He's on TV right now.
Yeah, was he on with Dan Patrick, though? And he said that Russell Wilson is ruining his Hall of Fame shot right now. And that is true. You have to feel like if he was on his way to the Hall of Fame before he got to Denver, he has done nothing to advance that. He has done everything to hurt that. Now, again, predicting who will get into the Hall of Fame is very difficult for me because the NFL puts everybody in it. I think Tanner's in it somehow. But if you're talking about my Hall of Fame, which should be the real Hall of Fame, and the NFL should be paying me because I would make this thing, this would be for the greats. You know, Russell Wilson is not a Hall of Famer. I'm telling you right now, Angel, those numbers they're throwing out on the four-letter network about how efficient the Broncos are and how they're scoring so much and how Russ is in the top of whatever statistical category, and I want to get into that in 12 o'clock hour, that is a farce right now. It's just you have a couple of good drives. That's it for Russell Wilson. A few. I'm really rooting for the guy. I am a big Russell Wilson fan, but he is not a Hall of Famer. He's going to have to do something big, and it's not numbers. He may have to win a Super Bowl in order for him to get his name back in there. He may have to do that, or at least get into the playoffs. Okay, coming up next, we will get into the lunch rush. I want to talk about future Rocky Mountain Showdowns. Is that going to happen? When is the next one? Obviously next year. When's the next one after that? And then Mike McDaniel. Who is Mike McDaniel? The former Greeley guy. The Broncos are going up against their former water boy this weekend. All that and more coming up next. We'll be right back.